see if anyone stands out with regards to, you know, just a comfort level of being able to transition to playing against different people, different bodies, different schemes.
67 degrees, cloudy skies, Central Park, and that's happening. I'm Marco Belletti.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Cross my heart that I'm
give you what you need. Inside the 1 o'clock hour on the fan in New York. Kind of crazy. You just heard Marco say 67 degrees. Like, when was the last time it was 67 degrees at night?
Football weather, baby.
Yeah, I saw your post, football weather, sitting in the stadium. I'm ready for football. Just a couple weeks ago, I was like, yo, it's baseball time. I'm ready for football because we just keep overhyping practice. We haven't even got to the preseason game. We've seen one Hall of Fame preseason game that they didn't even finish. And now we're proclaiming all of these different things about every single different. I don't know. I'm ready to get to it, man. 888-808-1019. We'll see the Giants play their first preseason game today. It'll be covered here on The Fan later on. Rami said he might go. And I was just talking to him, I'm like, where are the seats, bro? We were talking about, I was like, I will never sit at the top in MetLife Stadium again. From my own experiences, and I'm not knocking anybody that's got season tickets or that you know, buys tickets up there. I just don't, I'm not. But preseason is very fluid.
That's where my Jets season tickets were. They were sideline row ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it was upper deck, sideline row one. So it wasn't terrible. But yeah, I mean, I got rid of them this year because for various reasons. But
you got rid of your Jets season tickets going into this year?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I fully expect that's the one thing that's given me hope that the Jets will have a good season, is that would be typical that after sitting on those year after year,
now they're going to start 5-0, and then there's going to be games that you want to go to, primetime game, and then you're going to have to go on the resale market and pay $200 to get in there.
I hope not. I mean, I got some, you know, through
you got
the
some
Jets
connections.
Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, you got some connections. I do too. That's why I just had the thought, I'm getting bougie now. Because there's plenty of times where I sat at the top of MetLife Stadium. That's why I don't anymore. And it's just getting sketchy. I don't know. I like to see the game closer. And anywhere you go, if you sit up top.
Football's the worst sport live.
Football is the worst sport live. Especially as I'm getting older too. And I like the comfort of my brand new couch, my 75-inch TV. Being able to eat what I want,
multiple
drink what I want,
at once,
go to the bathroom, not have to worry about, like, yo, this bathroom's a mess, my sneakers, I can't step in these, you know. But here we are. And I'd rather, like, with gambling and fantasy, I don't want to go to one game unless it's a Sunday night football game and there's no other game on, or Monday night football game, Thursday night football game, because I want to see everything. I want to watch Red Zone. I want to see my fantasy team and parlays hit in real time. We're getting there. I was saying on Twitter the other day, I'm like, we do this every year. We hype up football, and then week one, your fantasy team is 0-1, your team that you root for in reality is 0-1, and you're popped, you're down $300 on FanDuel, and you're chasing your losses on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, but when that beat comes on, and you hear the Sunday Night Football theme, and Mike Tirico brings it, exactly, and you're down $500 or whatever, there's no better feeling in the world.
No,
it's the best feeling.
There's way better feelings. You're popped by the time, and then you just go to bed. Sometimes you just go to bed in the third quarter, like, forget it, bro. I'm not going to win this money back.
Yeah, but when I worked for the Ravens and I was at every Raven game for 2 years, I sat inside and watched on the TVs because I didn't want to miss Red Zone. I didn't want to miss the Jets and Giants. So I the Ravens was right outside. I could have sat.
I wouldn't want to work for an NFL team just for that, because I was talking to Bob Pop about it. I'm like, NFL is different than all the other sports. I mean, baseball is different than all the other sports. But like, okay, the Braves lost back-to-back games to the Brewers. I haven't seen a second of that. I don't care. But like, week one, all the way through the AFC-NFC championship, I'm watching all those games. I am seeing plenty of snaps from all those games. I do care about all those games. Like, I can't tell you who's coming out of the Brewers bullpen. I could tell you who's coming off the, who's on the Green Bay Packers defense. It's just different, man. It's just different. Football hits different. And who's coming off the PUP list? Mike Williams. I'm very interested in seeing what Mike Williams looks like. As the Jets receivers don't seem to be that deep, I'm very interested in seeing what he can do, what he can be. He's a big body. He's a dominant threat down the sideline. Got to get him going. And he came here, and what sealed the deal was a pork roll, egg, and cheese. And they said he was thinking about going to Carolina to be with the Panthers. No, no, no. Stay right here. Good. Interested to see him. I'm very interested to see how these next weeks play out now that there's games with Hassan Reddick. Because you're going to get fined now for missing the games. And, like, what's the point? What are we doing here? It's going to be a wash. Like, any money that they can give you in this current contract, tweaking the contract, like, I don't know. I just don't know what the motive is. I saw my guy Connor Hughes wrote, this thing really doesn't make much sense. He's already been fined $1.2 million. He'll be fined an additional $940,000 if he holds out through the first preseason game. The way it was explained, the ball is in his court. Whenever he wants to show up, he'll show up. Just not sure what's getting accomplished here. Me either. And I was talking to Antoine Staley about it the other night. And I'm like, okay, I understand not wanting to get hurt. And I also understanding not wanting to practice. But, like, you gotta come through at some point. Meet your teammates and get ready for the season. And you can't do that week one. 888-808-1019. We'll talk Jets with anyone that wants to talk Jets. As we will get to you guys on the phone line that want to talk Mets and Yankees, of course. But I'm introducing the Giants conversation. And, you know, I got a clip made. Made the rounds on WFA and Instagram, Twitter. And I always say about these clips, you know, I can have a five-hour show. And I can say Malik Nabers is a dog. I can say Malik Nabers is like that. I can say Malik Nabers coming out of LSU was the best receiver coming out of LSU, which is a wide receiver factory. He's put up better numbers than all the receivers coming out of LSU. He's regarded as the best receiver in LSU. Like, you know, I can say all of these things about how he's going to be targeted a bunch of times. But when I talk about the reality of him being a rookie and him having a learning curve and that him being only as good as the play calling, the offensive line, the protection for Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones reading the defense and delivering the ball, people, oh, you're a hater, you're trolling. I'm like, whatever, bro. I had a five-hour show. I talked all around it. But with Malik Nabers, it does remain to be seen. I just think the takes, and I put this on my Twitter, I think it's ridiculous we have takes. You know, and I got no issue with Tommy. I got no issue with Sean Morash. We're grown men talking sports. We're all going to say things that we disagree with. And Tommy said he's going to be better than 95% of the receivers he's on the field with. I do got a little bit of issue with that. We got it.
Loogie!
That might be the most annoying drop of all time. God bless Tommy Lugauer, though. He's doing his thing this week. And God bless Sean Morash and his family and all and everything that's going on with that. That's a terrible situation. I didn't even mean to bring it on air. But God bless Sean dealing with that situation and his family. I wish them all well. But what I'm saying is, I get it that these guys are Giants fans, but the Malik Nabers hype machine is ridiculous. Like, we're talking about Malik Nabers saying that he's better than 95% of the receivers that are going to be on the field when he takes the field this year with the Giants. That's ridiculous. Is he going to play in this preseason game? I would hope he does. He might not, though. Is he better than Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams? I would say no. When we get into the season, they start off the season against the Vikings. Is he better than Justin Jefferson? No. No. Is he better than Terry McLaurin? Is he better than Amari Cooper or Jerry Jeudy? Maybe he's better than Jerry Jeudy right now. I'm just thinking about who the Browns have. The Cowboys, assuming they have CeeDee Lamb, he's not better than CeeDee Lamb. Even though I did see CeeDee Lamb posted him on Instagram, called him twin. I don't know why guys do that. Nobody is my twin. I would never look at another man and be like, twin.
One of one.
Exactly. I am one of one. There's nobody like me. I'm not looking at another man and being like, twin. Like, I don't know why guys do that. I don't know why that. Like, that's like a hip-hop thing and even a sport thing. Oh, twin. Twin going crazy. Like, that's a way to compliment a guy but I think that's crossing the line. I think that's too much. Brian is in River Plaza. What's up, Brian? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How you doing, sir?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
No, you kind of stole my thunder with your last little diatribe, but I wanted to call because, listen, I'm a Jets fan, so I might be a bit of a hater right now. But I can't hear about Malik Nabers being 95% better than the rest of the league at wide receiver. I can't listen to it. It's ridiculous. He hasn't played a down, and he might be. I don't know. Who knows?
He's
I don't
a rookie. Know. We can't put guys in the Hall of Fame off of 2 weeks of practice.
He caught a pass against the Detroit secondary, which stinks. He caught a pass against. Now he's the best wide receiver ever lived.
I've been trying to say this stuff without being a hater, and unfortunately, since everybody knows I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan, yeah, you can be a hater. But what I'm saying is, okay, he's cooking the Giants DBs. They're not good.
Like, how impressive! I'm really impressed.
He's cooking the DBs of the Detroit Lions, who traded up so they could draft a DB in the first round. They have issues at corner.
And who was it? Sean, and God bless his family with everything going on. Was it Sean that said
he's better than Garrett Wilson already? He said he's better than Garrett Wilson already. Lugie said that he's going to be the greatest Giants wide receiver of all time.
We'll be lucky if he's a Keen Knicks.
They have guys that won Super Bowls. They have guys that, like, I don't know. I just think it's like, okay, I get it. You know what it is, Brian? They lose Saquon.
He might be a stud. Who knows? He might be he might be the best wide receiver to ever live. I don't know. But we can't say it right now.
But we can't say that before he even plays in a game. And there's so many factors that go into him being good. But, like, they lose Saquon. And I think that they made the right pick. Here comes a potential star. Here comes a home run hitter. Here comes an explosive offensive weapon that everybody's oohing and aahing about. But it's not a running back that you just hand the ball to 30 times a game. This is a guy that's got to run routes. He's going to get pressed. He's going to get jammed at the line. They're going to double team him. They're going to have a safety over the top.
By grown men.
And without Saquon, the defense can just scheme to stop number 9, Malik Nabers. That can be the whole plan. Let Wandale Robinson beat us. If Lil Wandale can beat us, then good. We'll live with that.
I live with that. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I live with that. And also, real quick, Daniel Jones, and listen, I don't think he's a scrub, but his best year is 17 touchdown passes, right? I mean, his best year was 2 years ago. And listen, I don't know.
I think he had a better year than that. But like,
he did his rookie year was very good. His rookie year under
Year, but that's a far cry from where we are now. He's coming off an ACL injury, and we got to see it. We got to see how he reads the defense, how he delivers the ball, how he gets away. And he looks good in practice, but it's a controlled environment. And like, I just think people are jumping to conclusions to say, "Yup, first ballot Hall of Famer." Like, let's see what happens when the game starts.
Start carving his bust already. You know what I mean? I hope he prepares a speech for the Hall of Fame right now, Malik.
You can't do that. You can't do that with Marvin Harrison's son, Marvin Harrison Jr. His dad is in the Hall of Fame. They're not saying that his kid is in the Hall of Fame.
It's unfair to Malik Nabers, too, in my opinion, because what if he struggles the first few games?
He's going to struggle. He's going to have a bunch of welcome to the NFL moments. He just had one with Kirby Joseph.
Just let the kid grow, in my opinion. Let him catch some passes. Let him grow and evolve.
Everything in a New York minute. We overhype everything. We proclaim everything. We just can't chill. We can't live in the moment. We got to project to the future. And here on The Fan especially, we just want to jump to, like, nope, yes, done. This guy's this, and this. And, like, these takes are written down. These takes are recorded. Everybody can hear your takes. They're going to come back to you, and it's just, I don't know, guys are going to be like, well, I didn't mean it like that.
And I know you're a college football quarterback. I know you're a very good player. I was a high school tight end. You know, in 7-on-7s one time, I caught 11 straight passes. I thought I was going to be next Mark Navarro. I was.
So 7-on-7. You never forget that day.
No, it was great. Keith, I had face mask imprints on my back. I was getting killed. I was part of the JV team, the varsity, and I was embarrassing the varsity, but they were killing me, Keith. I was getting jacked every time.
And you didn't go pro, and you didn't make the Hall of Fame. It is what it is. Thanks for the call, Brian. And I that's what I was saying when we started talking about football practice. I had a lot of time in practice. I played at two colleges. I played at Monmouth University. I played at James Madison University. And I wasn't that good because you know what I was doing? I was partying every night. I was chasing girls. I was also a DJ promoter in college. So, like, playing football, I was playing football because they were paying for my college, and I was athletic enough to go out there and play hungover. I was athletic enough to go out there and play with my blood alcohol content not being zero. And multiple positions, quarterback, receiver, I return kicks, punts. I used to be really athletic. But what I know from practice is it is practice, man. And I said this exactly. I said there were some practices where I wish we could have clipped the film and I could have posted it on my Facebook back then. Look at me. There were other practices where I was like, burn the tape. I want no one to ever see this. I was dreading going to the film room and getting just exposed and undressed, paused by my coach. All right, yep, we're going to put the laser on Keith, folks. Hey, let's see this rep that Keith McPherson had in practice today. This was a BS rep. Like, you hate to see that. But now, in this time that we live in, with social media, one, with iPhones, two, and reporters, three, they can go to practice, show you all of the highlights, post them on Twitter, and we're running with, I've seen all these people, Malik Nabers is a this. It's like, yeah, he was a 6 overall pick. What do you think this dude is? But the NFL is the best of the best. They're going to humble him, and he's going to have a learning curve. Can we let this young man become? He's 21 years old. Can we not put the pressure on him to be the next Odell? Can we not put the pressure on him to be the next Ja'Marr Chase? Can we not proclaim? But it's hard to do because you're fans. I'm not a fan of the Giants. I'm a football fan, and I played a little bit of football, and I understand this guy's going to be a good player. But for him to be good, he needs the offensive line to be good. He needs Daniel Jones to be good, and he needs the play calls to be designed to get him the ball. I said earlier, I'm handing him the ball. I'm handing the ball twice a game. Screen him, like throw screens to him, tunnel screens, like get him the ball where they're quick, easy, get the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands where he doesn't have to read the defense to get this young man going because he is explosive like that. Make one guy miss, he could take it to the house. But man, just listening to the fan in the last couple weeks, obviously the afternoon drive without Evan is G-Men radio. What happens when we get into these games and this kid has 30 yards? 3 catches for 30 yards. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to these takes. I have all of this stuff saved. Keith McPherson on the fan. I've got like 30 minutes left. 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We are going to continue talking Yankees, Mets, but now I've introduced the Jets and the Giants to the conversation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Attention, New York homeowners. Want to sell your home for more than it's currently worth? Now you can with Century 21 Realty Specialist Fix It and List It program. Here's how it works. First, we do a pre-listing evaluation of your home to identify key repairs and improvements to increase your home selling price. Then we create a plan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York. Keith McPherson wrapping things up in the next 20 minutes or so. 888-808-1019. Call me up one time. Let's get right back to the phones. I think I said enough. I think you guys know where we're at with it. Ram in Rockland County is on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
What's up, bro?
I just want to talk about how much of a letdown like today was with the second game with the Yankees. I'm not trying to overhype it, but I just feel like it's just typical, like, Yankee letdown game. We put this guy in the game, And before you know it, the game's already 6-0. And then Boone doesn't want to pull him when he probably should have pulled him.
I just think, so you know why it was disappointing? This is why I was disappointed, because I woke up today knowing where we were in the standings and knowing that if we took two games, we would be up in the standings as far as, like, we'd be in sole place of sole possession of first place in the AL East, and we'd have the best record in baseball. But if you only take one and the Orioles win, then you're neck and neck with them again. So when we got the first game, I'm like, good, got that one. Go get the second one. And the second one was over in the second inning.
Exactly. I just felt like the game was still in grasp at 6-2, and then you're just trotting out this guy, and he's and out of nowhere.
He's more than this guy. It's not like they picked up JD Davis. You know, they're trying him out there. Like, this is one of their top prospects. This is a guy in their system that they're developing. And even Boone after the game was speaking highly of him, you know.
No, that's what he always does. He'll never, I mean, I get it. It's his second start, but it was just an opportunity for us to really just have a good day and continue this streak and continue, like, the momentum. And you know how quickly in baseball the momentum could fall, you know? And yeah, I feel like tomorrow we could fall into, like, a close game, and next thing you know, now we're on a two-game losing streak.
Well, Nestor Cortez got to hold it down. I think that it's tough to take two games in a doubleheader regardless. So I think everybody in baseball has that mentality. I guess you could be mad at Marcus Stroman. They had to skip his start. They call up Will Warren. And he's a young kid making his Yankee Stadium debut. This guy is making his Yankee Stadium debut in the second half of the doubleheader. And he got rocked.
How do you feel about them switching Verdugo and Torres? That's, like, it's just another thing that, like, kind of messes with the mojo of what we got going.
I wish they wouldn't, but what do, like, they don't care what I wish. And clearly they always think they're the smartest people in the room, and they know everything and analytics, and they have their reasonings for everything. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When Verdugo was struggling, they couldn't put him up there. He's figured it out now. I'd rather it be Verdugo than Torres, but I don't know. He's play matchups, and it's a doubleheader. You're going to have two different lineups.
Yeah, I just feel like I get it. It's one game, but I just feel like
you need consistency. But I said earlier, the consistency is Soto 2, Judge 3, Wells 4, and they're going to keep moving guys around. Stan's going to get rest days. You know, it is what it is.
No, absolutely. I appreciate that, Keith.
Thanks for the call, bro. No, I'm with you. I wanted both of those games yesterday. Because I woke up and I said, this is a huge opportunity for the Yankees, right? And I saw somebody tweet out, like, you know, the Yankees have the best record in baseball. And just a couple weeks ago, people were panicking, thinking this team. But I'm like, I just hate the people that do that. I get it that, yeah, some Yankee fans, the season's over. It's the same thing as, even like I said, the Yankee fans that said it was the same thing as 2022. What happened in 2022? I've heard Big Mac say this, like, what happened in 2022? They won the division. They went to the ALCS. Yeah, they got swept ultimately in the ALCS. But, like, that was a good year compared to last year. And it's still right in front of them, like Boone says, for them to win a division and get the first round bye, have the best record. But it just sucks because, man, you're running out of time. You're running out of games. So it felt like an opportunity here with the Orioles losing last night because two nights ago because Grayson Rodriguez got pulled, right? The Orioles losing and you not playing and you gaining half a game and then you having two games in front of you in one day. You thought you could get the 2-for-1 special, but you had to pitch Will Warren and the young man got rocked. He got jumped. He faced a lineup that they got the best of him, and the Yankees lineup wasn't able to battle back and come through. They didn't have enough. Don't let that bleed into Nestor Cortez's start tomorrow. Don't get complacent. I had said last night, we'll know what type of time they're on by how they come out in this doubleheader, and they came out swinging in the doubleheader. That game was over pretty fast. Here comes a rubber match against the Angels. You can't lose a series at home to the Angels. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan. His team lost a series to the Angels out in Anaheim.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man? Yeah, listen, you get the win today, and I know at this point you're looking at surface level. You know, at the end of the day, you just got to rack up the W's, but I don't know, man, having to pull out that ninth inning rally, you know what? you know, deep down, I thought Lindor, you know, with that stretch we've seen, he looked like Barry Larkin for a couple months. And we were seeing Nimmo to an extreme, but Lindor a little bit too, not as much. But still, I was like, don't ground down to that double player strikeout and that ball in the dirt. And nonetheless, he comes up clutch. I'll even Winker. I think I called him Tyler Naquin last night. I don't know if I'm going to have to apologize just yet because I don't want to get carried away, but that might have been disrespectful seeing tonight. And Diaz looked a little shaky, man. You know, we point out, and actually, I was just on hold. I was reading an article. I don't know if you saw on the Post. Puma just put out an article. Ottavino talking about how it would be foolish if the Mets took him out of the bullpen for Reed Foley and Garrett and all these guys coming back. He said, quote-unquote, called it foolish if he was the odd man out. So if you got time, check that out later. I was just reading up on that.
Yeah, I got to look for that article. I was reading the article about how Lindor went back into the dugout and basically Mendoza told him he was getting too big with his swing to shorten up his swing to take what the pitcher gives him. And go the other way. Literally, told him what to do, and yeah, it worked.
Down the line, dude. I mean, listen, Diaz too. I don't know, man. Listen, I'm not expecting him to come in 9 pitches, immaculate innings every other night like he was in 22. I know that's irrational, and I know he's also not 2020 where every outing. And I know we kind of saw it in May too, where every outing. I mean, the Miami one, they had like a 5-run lead. He found a way to blow it. And I know he's not really at that point after the suspension. I think was kind of looked at. You know, was this the individual OMG grimace moment of his season? Was, I guess, the suspension? Or I guess you could even go to the IR stint. He still looks kind of shaky, man. I know the leadoff triple barely stayed in the park by like an inch. He got away with his you-know-what there. And I know he got the save. He only gave up the one run. But I think they got to keep an eye out on him because he hasn't looked 100%. But overall, man, like I said, listen, you take the series tomorrow, and if you want to look at it from a glass-half-full perspective, you take, what would that be, 4 out of 7, including the St. Louis? I mean, listen, that would be assuming from that standpoint that you lost the crucial St. Louis game. But, I mean, you just got to keep going. And now you're kind of looking at it where you backed yourself in the corner and playing a Seattle team up in Safeco or T-Mobile, whatever it is now. That's one of the better teams in all of baseball. And it's mostly the pitching, which is kind of a big problem. You consider the fact that the Mets being around .500 team now, which is okay. But when you got the D-backs and Padres playing like the Braves, the 22, I mean, the Padres, you see that game, you were box score watching.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates had them, you know, in a chokehold, and the San Diego had life. Jax Merrill, I don't think we talk about him enough as a potential rookie of the year if it weren't for Paul Skeens, but those two just don't lose, man. And I think, honestly, we're looking at now, currently as it stands, the only way we get into a wild card is either Atlanta, which is crazy to say because they were the one up 10.5 at one point, or honestly, I'm thinking if Arizona and or San Diego keeps winning, maybe the Dodgers fall into this mix all of a sudden, and one of those two are, you know, leading the NL West because I think their lead's down at 3.5, I think I just read before. So, I mean, that could be a situation now, too. I wouldn't say the Dodgers are free-falling. They just dropped 2 or 3 to Philly, though, so you never know with them, man. So it's getting
Kyle
crazy.
Kyle Schwarber.
Just real quick, though. 3 homers, man. It's nuts. Just really quick, though. I don't want to go too long with it. You're talking a little football. And I can't get enough of these Lions fans, man. I know we don't talk about them enough because they don't really got a lot of relevancy here. You know, me being a Viking fan, it's just, you have to see this thread I just pulled up on Twitter, but I have never seen a franchise, and I kind of bring it up with the Orioles in baseball. We don't talk about them enough because they're kind of the darlings nationally. This team, you know, not that much success. They're young. They're fun. Nobody wants to talk about the Orioles skids. Now I'm looking at a Lions team. Everybody's all fun and dandy. These 2 playoff wins, they won with 2 minutes left, both games, both of which they were at home turf for. And then nobody wants to talk about their 24-point lead, blown lead in the NFC Championship game. Everybody's saying they got a one-way ticket to the Super Bowl, like the Niners are falling off all of a sudden. Now I see them flexing. This guy, Kirby Joseph, the good knee hunting across the league. He's the tight end killer. He's got beef with people who haven't even played a snap in the NFL yet. This guy's out of his mind. He's a recluse. He's got beef with people who haven't played a single down in the NFL, and he's not even that good at his position. So
Dan Campbell at the end of last year said it's hard to get back to where they were, and I think he put the Maloik on him. I think he put the jinx on him. Like, yeah, you're right. It is hard to get back to the NFC Championship. They probably don't get back.
They're breaking kneecaps or something. I don't know.
They're biting off kneecaps, sure.
Yeah, he was taking it literally because he's a nutshot. And then you got the whole thing. You know, another thing with them, too, they can't live anything down. Kind of like Orioles fans with their movie. They get on Vlad Jr. Last year was the trailer. This year's our movie. They made a legitimate movie. Nobody talks about that. And now the Lions, this whole thing, and you know all too well, it was against your Cowboys with the Taylor Decker. I mean, 4 weeks later, they had billboards. They were talking about billboards with the Taylor Decker the day of the Rams playoff game. And a game that essentially wound up meaning nothing. Well, you know, win or lose, that game wound up meaning nothing because they were still hosting a home playoff game. And they were still, you know, uptight about a play that had no effect on their season at the end of the day. So just a quick side note on them. I hope, you know, I have no love for the Giants neither, but, you know, I might have to buy a Malik Nabers jersey after this, man, because he's winning me over going after Kirby Joseph.
Nah, get that number zero. Get that Brian Burns jersey. That's who you guys should be hyping right now. All the hype around Nabers, I understand. He's a 6th overall pick. It's, flashy wide receiver because you're coming away from having Kenny Golladay as the guy and David Sills and Richie James. It was just 2 years ago that, you know, Richie James was catching passes and David Sills. Darius Slayton's still around, but get that number zero, Brian Burns. He's the guy. 888-808-1019. So here's what Adam Ottavino, or as Frank the Tank says, Adam out the lead goes, had to say. So they asked Ottavino, you know, about the injuries and the veteran pitchers being released, and, you know, he knows he could be next. He said, it occurred to me that it could happen, but at the same time, you can't control it. I didn't really try to worry about it. As far as I'm concerned, the way I self-evaluate, I am still throwing the ball the way I want to for the most part. So I just have to try to live with the results. And he says, I think it would be foolish to let me go. Well, if their standards and if Mendoza and Stearns are who I think they are, they're going to look at things and be like, you're out of here, bro. Like, you shouldn't even have been here. How many times you hear me joke that he should have stayed at baseball night in New York with Sal and those guys? He was literally sitting there with like Jerry Blevins and Sal Licata and JJ. Like, he should have stayed there. He could be right back there. They could release him.
What are they feeding them though? Him and Pete Alonso, both with the rose colored glasses on, like looking.
I don't know. These guys.
I think we've been pretty good.
Yeah, these guys are millionaire ball players. Ottavino's still the same guy that said he could strike out Babe Ruth. He had another line. I was just like, bruh, whatever. So he says, I knew at some point it would happen. It's not easy to hold on to the job forever. You're going to struggle at some point. It was my turn to struggle there for a little bit. And I'm just looking to contribute where I can. So we'll see what happens with Ottavino. I know I was glad when he wasn't pitching for the Yankees anymore. Angelo in Island Park on the Fan. Go for it, man.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm just going to comment on the situation that happened with the second baseman, Torres.
Gleyber Torres, okay.
I think that he made an example of him. Also, to give a warning to the rest of the team that we're going to hustle. We're going to hustle down the first base. Make the guy make an error. Make him throw the ball. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, I watched him for 2 years now. He just kind of walks down the first base. And a lot of those guys do.
Yeah, he's slow.
But I'm not a big Aaron Boone fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, understandable. I kind of had the same sentiment. I was at that game Friday, and I was at first a little confused, but then I was excited. I'm like, I've never seen Boone do that. All right, Boone, having a backbone, like actually laying down the law, because it's not about you admiring a home run for 2-3 seconds, Gleyber Torres. It's about we're trying to win the division. We're trying to have the best record in baseball, and we got to set a precedent here. And if you're the guy that we got to make an example of, that's perfectly fine, because you've given us 100 examples of not hustling, boneheaded mistakes and plays, and enough is enough.
Yeah, I still feel he's a pretty good second baseman. And I'm still upset about last year where they traded Severino. I loved Severino.
Well, they didn't trade Severino. They just let him go. They just didn't bring him back because he was terrible, and the Mets signed him. Thanks for the call, Angelo. And yes, Gleyber Torres is a good second baseman, but this was a guy that was supposed to be a shortstop, was supposed to be an MVP. This is a guy that they let not hustle, you know, pop up, ground out, and feel bad for himself and just look down at the ground. They let him do that so much, and that became part of his DNA. This is a guy that can make miraculous plays, but then not make the routine plays. So, I don't know. We're past it now. I mean, tomorrow is Friday. It'll be a week since they benched Gleyber Torres, but it had to happen. It had to happen. And I don't know if Gleyber ends up on second or whatever, but I didn't mind it in the game. Oswaldo was ready to play. Good. Give that kid an opportunity. I haven't seen Oswaldo do as much of the lackadaisical, you know, mistakes that Gleyber Torres has.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, quickly here. Keith McPherson on The Fan, right back at it. Yada, 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 yada. Got a couple minutes until that music plays on me. I'm just looking at my notes. There was something else that I clipped. I mean, we've talked about the Yankees. We talked about the Jets, the Giants. But fantasyfootball.edge on Instagram had a profile on Malik Nabers. And so I'm not the only one alone in this thinking. And again, I remind folks, this is New York. Everyone is paying attention to all the New York sports and hype. And if now you're saying that Malik Nabers is Jerry Rice, the whole league is like, we'll see about that. So Fantasy Football Edge, as you get ready for your fantasy football draft, some of you are probably thinking, oh, I'm going to draft Malik Nabers like I drafted Darren Waller last year off of practice hype. Fantasyfootball.edge writes this little blurb about Malik Nabers. I think they went a little too far, but this is what they think. They say, there's no doubt that Malik Nabers has the talent to be an elite wide receiver in the NFL. However, Daniel Jones is an inaccurate and subpar quarterback who has never supported a top 25 fantasy wide receiver. Granted, having Darius Slayton as wide receiver one hasn't been ideal, but you would expect a quarterback making big money to at least get his top target the ball. The New York Giants have also put themselves in a situation where Nabers is the only player opponents really need to account for defensively. Being the focal point of a defense's attention when you have a below-average quarterback with limited physical tools isn't the combo we're looking for. And obviously, they're stretching a little bit. I think Daniel Jones is better than they give him credit for. You heard me lean into the fact that he had to throw to Richie James and David Sills. He's coming off an ACL. If he starts to get hit and he starts to worry about that ACL, it's going to affect him reading defenses and getting rid of the ball. And again, like they said, if there's no Saquon Barkley and Devin Singletary isn't really that much of a threat, who do you think that the defensive coordinators are gearing up to stop? It's number nine. It's Malik Nabers. So they said he's the 24th best receiver in fantasy. As host here at WFAN told you, he's going to be better than 95% of the receivers he's on the field with. They have Devontae Smith ranked higher than him at 22. They have Cooper Kupp, obviously, ranked higher than him at 21. They have Zay Flowers ranked below him, though, but I think Zay Flowers is probably going to be better than him in his second year at 25. Another note that I had is that, you know, speaking of defenses and schemes, I saw that Wink Martindale has been talking to the enemy. And I don't think it's going to matter. I think the Eagles are going to smack the Giants. I just think that Saquon Barkley is going to, like, I listened to the podcast with Diana Russini, and he talked about how he learned from the past not to get too fired up for games, just take it as any other game. But I think they're going to make an effort to give him the ball against the Giants. And I just think talent-wise, they have too much for the Giants. But Jalen Hurts called Wink Martindale ahead of the playoffs to discuss the Giants' game plan against him. Wink Martindale parted ways with the Giants. Everybody knows that. But he said, I thought it was pretty cool that the guy called. It shows you what kind of pro he really is. He's just looking at every single angle he can to get better. He just wanted to know why we did certain things that we did. Then he went to work on that. So Wink Martindale's telling him, yeah, when I was with the Giants, this is what we did to game plan against you. Let's see how Shane Bowen reacts to that. Last call of the night goes to Gary in the Jersey Shore area.
K-Mac, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad to have that last call. You know, I'm a little bit like you. I just turned my Uber off around Monmouth University, and I felt like I wanted to give you a call. Say hi.
Shout out to you, man. Shout out to those. I don't know if those kids at Monmouth are back yet. You might have some athletes around.
Hey, listen, I got a shout out. My daughter, Grace, just graduated with honors last year, and I got a sophomore, Julia, there this year. So.
Congrats, man. Yes, congratulations.
You know, I really wanted to call about the Yankees, and, you know, I get a kick out of some of the fans that, you know, panic 1 week, and then they're on the top of the world the next week. And You know, baseball's a long season. I'm really concerned about two things, with a couple things with the Yankees, if you don't mind. Give me a minute. I really hope that in the playoffs we go Judge, Soto, 2-3. I want Judge in front of Soto. I think Soto can handle less protection, but if Judge doesn't get the protection that Soto gives him, he's gonna see some pitches. So I hope that goes that way. And I think there's two keys to getting farther, maybe winning the division, but just maybe even winning playoff rounds and possibly a championship. And they're named Cole and Rodon. If those two guys can be real top-of-the-line ones and twos, aces, consistently, I think we'll be a real tough team to beat.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Cole, Heel, Rodon, 1-2-3, and then Cole back around for game four. But who knows? And, yeah, by the time we get to the postseason, maybe they do flip Judge and Soto, but I'm really interested in seeing how the Cleveland Guardians attack Judge or don't attack Judge. August 20th, 21st, 22nd, I might go to all three of those games if I can. The Yankees will host the Cleveland Guardians, and that's a team that's going to be competing. I think these teams that are not competitive, that they're not competing for anything, you know, they can just walk Judge because it's like, whatever, they're playing exhibition. But I don't know if the Cleveland Guardians are going to be able to afford to just put him on base and then have, you know, Austin Wells make him pay.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it again when you have more time. But does it make sense to you to have Judge in front of Soto to kind of hit her Soto with? I mean, Judge is the best player in baseball. Yes, he's going to for power. But Soto behind him, I mean,
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't mind seeing it, especially like today. Soto had a really like non-effective day. And as much as they changed the lineup, why not? Why can't you do that? And I said the only thing consistent about the lineup has been Soto 2, Judge 3, Wells 4. But if they're going to keep walking him against some of these scrub teams, why not try it out?
You want to walk him in front of Soto? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So
no.
Hey, real quick, two comments. I know you have to go, Keith. I really do. But I think Adovito could strike out Babe Ruth in the seventh at bat. Six homers and a strikeout. I don't know what he's talking about. And comparing neighbors to Jerry Rice before he ever touched the gridiron, Joe Montana's not quarterbacking our team. So Rice is great, maybe, with any quarterback. But, you know, take a look. We got, you know, I'm not high on Jones at all. I think the Giants are going to be terrible. And I think you're 100% right. Bang the Eagles. Have a great night, man.
Thanks for the call, Gary. Yeah. Adovino coming in to face Babe Ruth late in the game. I don't know. Babe Ruth gets a ton of hype. And like I said with Judge, I'm like, you can't compare Babe Ruth to Judge when you're talking to me. They're in completely different eras. If Judge was around in the era that Babe Ruth played, they try to burn him at the stake. They think he was a alien monster. They wouldn't know where he came from. Get this guy out of here. And yeah, with Malik Nabers, what if Daniel Jones gets hurt? Then you got Drew Lock throwing the ball. I don't know. I think you got to slow down. I think Nabers is showing you that he's like that. Yeah, he's a dog in practice, but there are so many variables for a rookie receiver to have success. I want him to be successful. I want him to be a playmaker. I just think it's crazy how quickly we said he's better than Garrett Wilson. He's going to be the best receiver on the field. He's going to actually be the greatest Giants wide receiver of all time. That is drinking the big blue Kool-Aid. That is Giants fans on the afternoon drive saying anything.
Loogie!
Loogie and Morash with Tiki Barber. C-Mac is coming up next. I mean, he's a Giants fan. I don't know. I don't think he's been proclaiming anything about Malik Nabers. I haven't caught it. Call his show, 888-808-1019. I'm out of here. I'll be back Sunday. And then my Sunday show, the Sunday after that, will be live from Fanatics Fest. You don't want to miss that. If you're going, I'll be on stage 12 to 3. That's Sunday, August 18th. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9.